Imagine being 23 years old and you're being raised in a very strict religious environment, and your sole purpose in life is to be the perfect mom, the perfect wife. And everything that you do every single day revolves around and centers around what your husband wants and needs and what your kids want and need. All the while, you are completely losing yourself in the role of the perfect mom and perfect wife. This story is the story of my guest, Michelle. And in this episode, we talk about how being a people pleaser and being a perfectionist are roles that we fall into. And when we play out these roles, wear these masks, we can lose ourselves, become disconnected from our true authentic self. To hear more about Michelle's story and how we can unmask from the perfectionist and people pleaser roles, tune in to this week's episode. Welcome to the Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists podcast. I am Kim Gross, your host, and it is my mission to help you unmask from people pleasing and perfectionistic behaviors so that you can finally have the confidence to live the life that you truly desire. One of the greatest privileges in life is the opportunity to continuously evolve. And that is by Michelle. So that's awesome and amazing. I love that, especially since personal growth is one of my core values. I am constantly growing and evolving. And everything that I've done throughout my life has just been about how do I grow? How do I become the better version of myself? So I love that quote. And before we dive in deep into the conversation, how about if you just share with us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I am a life and empowerment coach. I specifically work with women who are starting this journey of rediscovery, entering into their midlife awakening. It is no longer a crisis. It is an awakening. It's a wonderful and it's powerful and it's exciting and a little bit scary.
Absolutely.
So that is what I do. I support these women as they're rediscovering themselves, what excites them, what lights their soul on fire, and help them just navigate this journey to live a more fulfilling life and live it authentically. That is the key.
Absolutely. And of course, this was not your story. This was not always your place in life. Your journey began in a much different place at the young age of 23. So do you want to share that with us?
Yes, absolutely. So a little bit on my backstory, I was raised in a really strict religious ideology of what the perfect woman, wife, mother should be. And these values and ideas and narratives were just ingrained in me on a weekly basis, in church, outside of church. And I genuinely thought as I was entering into my teenage years that being a wife and a mom, that was what my sole purpose in life was. And that's all I desired. And I was really excited to have that in my life. I should also mention, I'm the oldest of five children. So being like the second hand to my mom, and it came naturally, the idea of being a mom. And I've always been the nurturer and the caregiver and the people pleaser and the fixer-upper and all those things. And I was really excited about this phase in life, being a wife and a mom. I did, however, go through a little bit of a rebellious phase, as most of us do, around 18, 19 years old, when we discover our independence all of a sudden. And in hindsight, I actually was tapping into who Michelle was authentically, who my true self was. But for me, I was like, oh, okay, it's just my crazy years. This is what we're supposed to do, rebel, whatnot. But I loved life. I loved excitement. I love adrenaline rushes. I love to be happy and laughing. And really, I was living like my best life. However, around the age of 21, started getting that nagging voice in the back of my head saying, hey, listen, this isn't what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be thinking about settling down, starting a family. And so I did just that. I started looking for a nice young man that would reel me in, balance out my crazy. And I did. I found someone and we were married at 23. And I had the first of my four children at 23 as well. And I dove head first into those roles of wife and mother. I was so caught up in the wonderful chaos of motherhood, I really had lost all sight of who I was because I was so focused on raising my family and almost like living minute to minute. We don't even realize it when we're in the throes of motherhood, how you're actually in survival mode with the crazy and keeping up with the kids and the activities and the running around and the dropping and the feeding and all the things. You end up going into this survival mode and you lose yourself because you're focusing on everyone else. And there's not hardly a minute in the day for you to take time for yourself, except after the kids go to bed. And then you're so freaking exhausted. It's just lights out. I'm done. And then we just do it all again the next day.
Yeah. Let's pause there for a minute because I'm thinking about something really interesting. Because I did the same thing. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I love what you're saying about this survival mode type of thing. And that's exactly what it felt like. I didn't even pause long enough to think about really what I wanted and needed until, I shouldn't say that, it's not entirely true, because I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease when I was 35. And so I was forced to stop and take care of myself and look at what I was doing. But even then, I still struggled. I still got caught up in who has to be where at what time and this parent-teacher conference and back to school night and soccer and tennis and football and dinner and groceries and pick up the house and so on and so forth. I know that there are other moms or parents out there that do not adopt that type of mentality, maybe because they're working and they can't, or they just don't or won't. But I do know or remember my kids having friends whose parents didn't get that involved or didn't give a fuck. And they, so what I'm asking then, and I'm having a curiosity about, is did you and I and others like us go into that survival mode, go into that role of losing ourselves and just putting our kids first and taking care of everyone else except for ourselves and then end up exhausted at the end of the day, collapsed on the couch with a bag of potato chips because we had this tendency within us to be a people pleaser? Do you like, what are your thoughts on why that was the case for you?
Yeah, I was definitely modeling the behavior that I'd been raised with by my mom as well. And I know she's a people pleaser too. So it's almost like a generational thing. And I do have to say, like, the friends that my kids had where the mom was working full time or whatnot, or the parents weren't involved as much. I can say for me, whenever I had those kids over, I almost felt, okay, I'm going to show them, give them what they're missing too. I was almost trying to fill that void that they didn't even know they had. Void again, that kind of, I can fix it and I can make everyone happy and I'm going to be the best of everything. bit too, but I do think it comes at what you're talking about and where we are. It's, we set such high standards for ourselves. And I do think it's a people pleasing mentality, but really, if you think about it, who are we really pleasing? Who are we trying to please? It's, we just have these expectations in our head of like how we're supposed to be. And that's what we're trying to reach. That's where that people pleasing bit, I think, comes in.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because that's an important part too, is the expectations. Because not only did you mention at the beginning of your story here that when you were 21, you started to hear that nagging voice in your head that, okay, like, all right, Michelle, it's time to get married. Let's go. You can't keep being wild and free anymore. You can't keep being yourself. And right. And then even when we talked once before, the last time, you shared about these high expectations as well. And so when we're trying to live according to someone else's expectations, when we're trying to live according to some standard, whether those standards and expectations are set by society, which is often the case, and in your case, the environment, the church, the religion, our parents, and then our parents' voices, or whoever our caregivers were, then become our voices. And then we start with a sledgehammer of, come on, Michelle, come on, Kim, let's go, pull up the bootstraps, meet these high expectations, do everything, be everything for everyone, and do it perfectly without you needing a single thing. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was absolutely like trying to keep up with Mrs. Jones. I had friends in the church that were doing all the things, and I was trying to keep up with them. And with my first two children, I worked full time as well. So I was working, and then I was also trying to keep up with the being the best mom and the best wife. And I had these other role models that I had been raised with that were like the picture of perfection and all things. And ultimately, I was striving to be Martha Stewart on steroids, basically, was what I was striving to be. And that sure as hell wasn't going to be happening. But I was trying to manage my home, manage the kids, and keep the tidy house, and have warm, healthy meals every night. And my kids' shirts and their socks always had to match, and it was Gap. And like all these things where right now, my youngest kids are teenagers, and I could literally give zero fucks. I'm like, we're shopping at Ross. And you're going to be good with Hanes underwear. It's not going to be Ethica or whatever the brand is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, there was a lot of outside influences. And then, of course, social media comes into play, and you start following these influencers and these amazing cooks. And I was always watching the Food Network, and I was like, okay, I can be like Jada. I could be like, and the thing is, I couldn't. And even when I became a stay-at-home mom, which I was for 11 years, it was still a struggle. And I was like, how is this? Now I have all the time in the world. How is it a struggle? And because there was always one thing after another, a task, and the struggle is real.
Yeah, 100%. So then you shared with me that because of all of this pressure that you're putting on yourself to be Martha Stewart on steroids and to do all the things and have all the nice warm cooked meals, that it came to a head for you. It came to a culminating point. And I think you even shared that it impacted your health, and then something had to shift. Do you want to share that with us?
Sure. So I had a couple of moments, and one pretty much led to another within a matter of months. The first moment, and I'm sure I'm not the only mother out there that feels this, and I don't think it's talked about. So it definitely wasn't back in when I was going through it. I really despised Mother's Day. To me, it was the worst holiday of the year. And one of the things is it's not different from any other day. I'm still cooking. I'm still dealing with the bickering. But my moment came sitting in church, and I was listening to these kids and adults, whatnot, talk about how amazing and wonderful their mothers were. And I was sitting in the pew, literally crying. Because for me, Mother's Day, not only was it like any other day of the year, but the big piece for me was Mother's Day for me amplified all my shortcomings. To me, it reminded me of all the mistakes I was making, losing my temper, how I was falling short as a mother. And I honestly felt very unworthy to even be a mother to my children. And this particular year, I was, about 36 years old, and it really impacted me. And I was sitting there in church, and I was sitting there crying, and the day went on, and I just really was reflecting on where these feelings were coming from. And I got to a point where I was like, there's got to be a better way. Like, I'm doing the very best that I can. Why am I so devastated? Why do I feel so belittled? Why do I feel like such a failure in motherhood and being a wife and being this woman that I'm striving to be? So once I got through reflecting and the kind of depression and the sadness emotions, then I started getting really pissed off. I started getting really pissed off because I had spent over half my life trying to be something that I wasn't, and trying to reach expectations and fulfill these narratives that people had planted in my head. And it fucking pissed me off. I was so angry about it. And then I realized that anger's not serving me. Okay, I got it out. Okay, now you're going to forgive yourself because you were only do the best that you knew how to do. And that's okay. And now you've learned from it, and we're going to move on, and we're going to try and make it better. So that's really when I started thinking, okay, I need to start taking care of myself. I need to start looking at ways to learn how to love myself again. I didn't love myself. I didn't even like myself because I sucked at all the things. But I didn't. Now I'm like, oh my God, I was fantastic. But yeah, I sucked at all the things at the time.
Did you, if I can pause there for a second, did you suck at all the things, or did you think that you did?
I thought I sucked at all the things. I did not. Like, looking back, I'm like, oh my God, how did I do all that stuff? It was wild. Yeah. But at the time I was like, I was falling short all the time. So I became self-critical.
So I want to really slow this down for a second, because what you're sharing, thank you, first of all, for being so vulnerable and saying what so many moms and women struggle to say. So I really want to slow it down, and I want to repeat, and I want to go deeper into this, because you shared, and I can relate to what you're saying. You said that you despised Mother's Day because it was a reminder to you of all the ways in which you fell short, all the ways in which you failed as a mom. And I can imagine you sitting there and reflecting on every mistake, quote unquote, mistake that you made as a mom, all the marks that you missed, all the times that you lost your temper, said things to your kids, or whatever the case is, and just feeling that feeling of falling short. That is huge. When we have that feeling that we're falling short, number one, that is a huge red flag and indicator that we are being so hard on ourselves and putting so much pressure on ourselves, and we are struggling with perfectionistic tendencies. Because again, going back to those expectations, those standards to be the ideal Martha Stewart or the Leave It to Beaver, like those shows back in the 50s, they set us up like
yes, big time.
They set us up to beat ourselves up, to compare ourselves to some kind of ideal of how we're supposed to be as a mom. And we're trying to, as perfectionists and people pleasers, we're trying to do all the things perfectly and right and making this one happy and that one happy. And there's no freaking doubt in my mind, because I've lived it and experienced it, that when we do that, we're cutting off from our true nature, our true self, our life force, our vitality, and we're running on freaking fumes. So it's no wonder left and right you're feeling like you are falling short. So yeah. I just wanted to slow that down, and I just wanted to thank you for sharing that piece and being so honest about it, because I do really, again, feel that so many moms, and maybe dads as well, can relate. So you have done the work, you have shifted. So tell us a little bit about your path and your journey.
Yeah, I started to look for ways to bring self-love into my life. I felt very alone because all my friends were living this life of trying to be perfect too. I really felt on my own to source this new positive energy, a positive shift in my life. At the time, YouTube was the place to be. Podcasts weren't really a thing. And so I started looking for influencers on YouTube that really had a message of self-love, self-care, and empowerment, and just started listening to what they had to say, just trying to get ideas of what I could do to change these narratives, get rid of these negative narratives in my head. And so I really had to, like I said, learn how to like myself, love myself. And part of that was realizing that my imperfections were actually the unique qualities that made me exactly who I was meant to be. Mm-hmm. And I learned to embrace the imperfections, embrace my shortcomings, and realize that it's okay. And I'm perfectly imperfect. And by being authentic and true to who I am, I'm a lot happier and feeling more fulfilled, but I'm also setting a great example for my children to be who they feel and process and do the things that feel good to them. So I started on this journey of trying to rediscover, not so much rediscovering myself, but learning to love myself, which brought me to my next little pivotal moment. And that's when my youngest kid went off to preschool. And all of a sudden, I had all this free time on my hands. And you can only do the things around the house so much, clean, laundry, all the things, before you're really forced in the quiet of your home to sit with yourself and be like, okay, what now? What do I do with myself now? I have all this free time that I've been just waiting for, but I don't even know what to do with it because I didn't know what I'd like to do. I didn't have any hobbies besides going for a walk or whatever. And that's 15, 20 minutes and it was done. I didn't know what to do with myself. So this really started my rediscovery journey when now I had some free time to actually sit and focus entirely on me and what made me happy. So you had mentioned a lot of times when we're get lost in motherhood, get lost in life, we stop taking care of ourselves. That certainly was the case for me. And like you, I had health scare of sorts. My youngest child actually came 6 weeks early because I had hypertension and it never went away. And ultimately I became pre-diabetic. Plus I had this chronic hypertension and I was overweight. So when I stripped everything down, it made the most sense to the best way to start taking care of me was to start taking control of my health again. And that's really where the foundation of that rediscovery and self-care piece came in. I was already building on the self-love. Now the self-care piece came in and learning and actually being forced to take care of myself for the first time in what felt like my entire life. Yeah. And for me, that looked like exercise, movement, nutrition, changing the ways I eat. I started researching more on how to reverse diabetes, type 2 diabetes, how I could make things better. And it just the little walks or doing the yoga or just starting off with like little things for me. That was the first step in my discovery and really falling back in love with myself and taking care of me.
So when you start to create and cultivate that self-care and that self-love, mm-hmm. then the hope is and the goal is that you would have less and less tendency to be in the people-pleasing and perfectionist patterns and behaviors. Have you noticed a difference in that? Are you less of a people pleaser, less of a perfectionist? And if so, how are the people in your life reacting or responding to that?
Oh my gosh, it was like a 180. Like, really? And once I found my happy, that became a non-negotiable for me. But man, it is very difficult to get through, be okay with saying no without guilt. And on the flip side, saying yes without feeling shame or guilt too. And I'm not going to lie, I still struggle with it. I still hold that fear of disappointing people. piece, but now I can have face-to-face conversations and be okay. But for the longest time it was text because I just couldn't stand the thought of seeing disappointment on their face. I would just crumble. There's no way I had the guts to say no or whatnot. It has changed completely in my life now. Once I had my why and chose me and it changed everything. And I felt like I was free to be me. And it has reflected on my children as well, because not only did I learn how to hold that space for me, free to be me, I could hold that space for my children and actually break that cycle and remove those narratives that I had already started with my older children. So yes, in the last 10 years since everything has shifted, boy, it's been amazing. And now my older children are young adults and seeing them navigate life and choose them as a priority and what is going to be best for them and what makes them happen. I'm so grateful that I broke that cycle.
Oh. Yeah, 100%. I get that. It's huge. It's huge. How do you help the people you work with? And then secondly, where can people find you?
Uh-huh. The basic bits is to identify and break through those negative narratives, those mindset blocks that are holding you back, that are lying to you, holding you stagnant. And then it's a space where you're not happy and not feeling fulfilled. So I work with people to identify and break through and move forward from those mindset blocks and really get on to a path of positivity and curiosity and excitement about life. Like I said in my quote, like the evolving is just such a privilege and so exciting. And I get asked quite frequently, so Michelle, have you found your purpose? Mm. And I said, no, I haven't found my purpose, because if I said yes, it would be like saying I've stopped evolving. And I sure as heck have not stopped evolving, but I do know that I'm on my journey, on my path towards my purpose. And that fucking excites me. And that's what lights my soul on fire, is seeing other women get on their path, feeling their soul lighting on fire, finding their happy, finding their non-negotiable, and really stepping into the power of who they are. And that is what I do.
So amazing. Mm-hmm.
And people can connect with me on Instagram. My handle is Fiercely Authentic Coaching. And I would love to say, please slide into my DMs. I want to say hi. I want to chat. I want to support. I want to hear your stories and excitement and your wins. And I just love chatting with women in the DMs. So please slide into my DMs and say hello.
Awesome. I really appreciate you coming on and again, being so vulnerable and sharing with us what can be so hard for others, women to voice and articulate. And you just did it so eloquently. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. I will see you next time. Well, there you have it. Another episode of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. I do hope that you found value in this episode. I hope that you feel inspired, that you have gained from my experience, my strength, and my hope, and that you have become more aware, super focused, aware of whether or not you have people pleaser and or perfectionistic tendencies. It is my hope, my wish, my desire that you can find the freedom to live the life that you've always wanted, to create the life that you desire. And probably most importantly, it's my wish and my hope for you that when you are on your deathbed, that you do not look back on your life and say, boy, I wish I had showed up as my true self. I wish I had taken off the masks and allowed myself to be fully seen. I wish that I had lived my life fully and from wholeness. That is my hope and my wish for you through these episodes. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would love for a comment, or if you want to review it, it does help to push this content out.